lift your hands up to the Lord. I speak Jesus over your body.
Amen.
The work of the cross over your body in Jesus' name. Folks, begin to receive and just say, I receive Jesus.
I receive Jesus.
I receive Jesus.
I receive Jesus.
Get some emotion into it. Get some feeling in it. I receive Jesus. Jesus is my healer. Satan, you have no hold on the body of Christ.
That's right.
Jesus
That's right.
is victorious.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit is speaking. He's talking to every one of you. He's revealing truth to you today. When you see something that is not right, Holy Spirit speaks to you about truth. True, that's happening, but the truth will set you free.
Amen. Amen.
From what is true.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and say the name again. Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it is so good to see you. Thank you. It is so good to see you. But you know what's great? It's so good to see Jesus here today. The Holy Spirit was welcomed in this place. God moved. God literally came down and moved amongst us. He touched our lives. He spoke truth to us. He literally transformed areas in our life, even though physically we don't see it yet.
Amen.
And that's where faith comes in.
Amen. I receive it.
I was sharing with someone earlier today as we prayed for their healing. And, you know, faith is not a blind leap. Faith is an educated step.
Amen. Praise God.
And the educated step is knowing the truth. That Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Well, as you are seated, I want to thank Pastor Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Pastor Dan and all the leadership for all that they did while my wife and I were away. And we enjoyed ourselves immensely. We had the privilege of being a part of a wedding. We also had a privilege of Ruth Lawinson's mother, who passed away, flying to Louisiana and being able to do that funeral and give the message. And just a precious, precious family that we have in our church. But I just want to thank you for allowing me. I don't know if you know, because I was a supervisor for years, I noticed council groups, congregations that I had to go in and teach them the principles of leadership so that they would release their pastors to rest once in a while. And because I don't know if you knew that 38% of pastors after 3 years of pastoring quit. And I don't know if you knew this, but there is an average of 17% of pastors who have mental breakdowns. And it's not because they're not born again, love Jesus, walk in faith. It's because they don't take care of themselves. And that's why I have really, in my latter years of being in ministry, have really encouraged our staff, CEOs of companies, business owners, everybody that I speak to be able to Sabbath in their life. And thank you for allowing that to happen. And by the way, it's good that I'm gone, because then you can see the giftings that we have in our congregation. And it's a blessing. And so I'm going to bring you a message and continue the God I never knew. But I also want to just extend to you a real understanding of what's going on in our world. You need to recognize what you're seeing today is a result of a great move of God. It is an enemy that is flipping out and creating chaos in our world. But I want you not to see the chaos. I want you to see what God is doing in the midst of chaos. And I am seeing so many things that are taking place in the body of Christ that is prophetic, that is happening, and God is moving in a very unique way. And as we sang that last song, I want you to recognize that it is about Jesus. And with Jesus, we can do all things. We're in a series, again, that I called The God That I Never Knew. And who we're talking about is the Holy Spirit. And I started this series by bringing this to you. And this is the premise of my study of the Holy Spirit that I have about eight series of messages on all who the Holy Spirit is. But when I grew up, I didn't hear much about the Holy Spirit. There wasn't much teaching on the Holy Spirit, but I saw human actions, excuse me, that I did not understand, and or in their actions, they did not understand the Holy Spirit. And it caused confusion in my heart. Matter of fact, in my teenage years, I didn't rebel a lot because sports kept me kind of focused on something, a purpose of my life. But I really walked away from the things of the Lord. I had been born again when I was young. But when I saw this, it confused me. Literally, it caused fear in my life because I just didn't get it. And the church didn't teach me. And because the church didn't teach it, people tried to get it, and they got confused, and they acted out Holy Spirit, quote, things that weren't the Holy Spirit. And so when I became truly committed to the Lord, and then I went to Bible college and all the above, I really said, Lord, I still walk in fear in my walk with you, because I don't understand the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I'm bringing this to you. We are in the third message of this series, but I was in the airport waiting for the plane, and as I was there, someone sat next to me, and they saw me on my phone. I guess they're looking at my phone, you know, what I was reading, but they saw me reading Scripture. And they said, oh, I see you reading the Bible. I said, yes. And they said, there's something different about you. What do you do? And I said, well, I'm called of God as a pastor. And they said, wow, great. And they asked me, this thing about the Holy Spirit. And I said, good. And so I had a conversation. Because of time, I won't share the full story. But this is what God does. So I got on the plane, and I felt the Holy Spirit talking to me and saying, I want to show you and give proof to you everything that you said to that person. So let me give you 31 things the Holy Spirit does. Now, I'm going to pass this out to you next week. So don't worry about writing it down, and because I'm going to fly through this because of time. So the 31 things the Bible tells us what the Holy Spirit does is he helps us in Romans 8:26. He guides us in John 16:13. He teaches us in John 14:26. He speaks in Revelation 2:7. He reveals in 1 Corinthians 2:16. He casts out demons in Acts 9:29. He instructs. He testifies of Jesus, John 15:26. He comforts us in Acts 9:21. He calls us, Acts 13:3. He enables us to wait in Galatians 5:5. He prays for us, Romans 8:26. He prophesies through us, 2 Peter 1:21. He bears witness to the truth, Romans 8:1. He brings joy, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. He brings freedom, 2 Corinthians 3:17. He helps us obey, 1 Peter 1:22. He transforms us, 2 Corinthians 3:18. He dwells in us, Romans 8:11. He reveals Jesus' return in Revelation 22:20. He convicts us, John 16:3. He frees us, Romans 8:2. He renews us, Titus 3:5. He produces fruit in us, Galatians 5:22 and 23. He gives gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. He leads us, Romans 8:14. He convicts us, 1 Corinthians 8:11. He sanctifies us, 1 Corinthians 6:11. He empowers us, Acts 8:1-8. He seals us, Ephesians 1:13. And he gives us access to the Father, Ephesians 2:18. That's the Holy Spirit. Not this weird, fearful, crazy stuff that some people who do not understand who he is. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the third message. The first one, remember, we talked about who is he. The second week, we answered, is he a person? And then today, we will answer, is he Pentecostal? Ooh. So we've heard a lot of things, but is the Holy Spirit Pentecostal? Because John, his cousin, was a Baptist. I'm just kidding. We get asked this all the time. As a church here, are we Pentecostal? In many instances, I say full gospel. And let me tell you why I say full gospel, which is Pentecostal. But I say full gospel because in my childhood, I saw stuff that I didn't like. And I'm still concerned about saying I'm Pentecostal. But let me tell you, I'm Pentecostal and we're a Pentecostal church. And I'm going to explain it to you. I'm going to explain to you what Pentecostal means. I'm going to explain to you what Pentecost means. And we're going to go through Scripture and we're going to find that. And by the way, OSL, we have a whole class based on the Holy Spirit that Pastor Dan teaches. We are a four-square church who believes fully in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, everything in accordance with Scripture. We believe in water baptism, but we are not part of the Baptist denomination. We also believe in Spirit baptism, Holy Spirit baptism, and we are full gospel / Pentecostal. So please hear me today when I'm talking about this. And I really want, the reason why I'm teaching this message the way I am is because I want to break what held me in bondage for years from you. I want to break confusion regarding being full gospel, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, all the different aspects of that. Because when you hear certain aspects of the Holy Spirit, a lot of people say, well, that's not me. Because they don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't know what he does. I read you 31 things. And you know what? I did that in 2.5 hours on a plane trip. I know there's more. And I will write more as I find it and include that. So if being Pentecostal, you mean ladies can't wear pants and only dresses, and they can't wear makeup. No, that's not what we're talking about. By the way, I love makeup on ladies. Go for it, ladies. Now, I'm not putting down anyone, because many have sincere beliefs, but remember this series is talking about the God that we don't know, the Holy Spirit. So I'm trying to bring clarity to every one of us regarding God the Holy Spirit so that we don't walk around, and sometimes people, I'm kind of embarrassed when we get into this Holy Spirit stuff. And I will tell you, the embarrassment is either by lack of knowledge and or people who are acting out on something that's not truth. So this is the reason why that I am bringing this whole series. I'm not getting into depths of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not getting into much depth on the tongues and different things like that. That's OSL, and that's for another time. But I want you to relate with the Holy Spirit, because I just read you 31 things that he does. And if you don't relate to him, how does that happen in your life? So here's our belief. If being Pentecostal, we mean by the definition of Pentecost, and that we fully believe in the work and the person of the Holy Spirit, and we believe that Pentecost is the fulfillment of the feast of Pentecost, which is that every believer must have a vital personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, then yes, the Holy Spirit is Pentecostal, and we're Pentecostal. And I'm going to show you, I'll teach you that today. And I know that with me, that I give you a lot of information because I want you to take the information and I want you to grasp it and to learn from it and to grow in it, to listen to the messages more, to get in the Word of God, to ask questions. So it's not according to some historical or cultural or maybe a denominational definition. But to answer the question, we understand what it is stating. We need to answer three, I'll say, and a half things, because I'm going to touch on something. I'm going to give you 3 points today and touch on something else. So the first question that we need to ask is, well, Pastor, what is Pentecost? Many don't even know what Pentecost is. In Acts 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, or when Pentecost arrived, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. This is talking about when the Holy Spirit came. So let me explain to you Pentecost. There were three major feasts in Israel. All right? They took place in the first month, the third month, and the seventh month of Israel's calendar. All of Israel, what they would do, would to gather to celebrate these feasts, and each feast represented something that happened historically or that God had asked them to do. So the first is Passover, where the spirit of death passed over the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. The second is Pentecost, and the third is tabernacle. Now, I touched on this before, but let me go over this again. All right, some of you heard of seven feasts. In Passover, there's a total of three feasts. In tabernacle, there's a total of three feasts. And in Pentecost, there's a total of one feast. So that totals seven in old math. Passover is the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits, and the feast of weeks. Pentecost, you can watch this again, and there will be notes on the webpage, and you'll be able to get that. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover, feast of Pentecost. So 50 days after Passover, then they had the Feast of Pentecost. Then Tabernacle is the Feast of Trumpets. Think about end times. Feast of the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacle, or sometimes called Booths. All right, so what is the Feast of Pentecost that they're celebrating? We're trying to learn the Holy Spirit Pentecostal. When we move into Pentecostalism, when we talk about this, when we move in the gifts of the Spirit, when we have prophecies, when we move in those areas, that's of the Holy Spirit. But Pentecost was the celebrating of the giving of the law of Sinai. All right? This happens 50 days after Passover. So watch this. The fear of Pentecostalism is it is a celebration of the giving of the law of Sinai, 50 days after Sinai. Pentecost means penta, two words, penta, from the Greek, five, like pentagon, all right, the five-sided building, penta, five, cost, to the tenth power, or Pentecost means 50th. Remember, 50 days. So when the scripture says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it means the 50th day had arrived. Nothing scary about that, right? Think about this. How many people have a negative connotation of the word Pentecost or Pentecostal? You know what it means? 50. Watch this. 50! That scare you? Why would you ever be afraid of Pentecost and it's a word in the Bible? So let's go on. This is really good as I explain this. God knew his son would resurrect the day after Passover. Jesus would then be on the earth for 40 days. 40 is an important number, but we won't touch on that till later. Then they would pray for 10 days, which adds up to 40 and 10, 50. Think about it. The Holy Spirit came 50 days after the resurrection. He was raised on the first day of the week. But let me show you something God did in the law regarding this. Notice Passover fall on any day. All right, Leviticus 23:15. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths, 7 weeks, shall be completed. Watch. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. Old Testament, X. All right? So you see how this, the Bible, I love the Bible. They were celebrating the law 50 days after Passover. God knew, watch this, his son would die on Passover, but that he would resurrect the day after Sabbath. God says, celebrate this feast, but don't start till the day after Sabbath. Doesn't matter if it's Tuesday, Friday, or what. Because God knew Jesus would be there 40 days, the disciples would pray 10 days, and God wanted the Holy Spirit to come on the exact 50th day. So we see from the Old Testament to the New Testament how God planned everything. Nothing's a mistake. Nothing's a mistake. So what is Pentecost? 50. Don't be afraid. Here's the second question. What happened at Pentecost? In Acts 2, verse 5 and 6, we'll get back to 3 and 4 in a minute. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Important, every nation. Everybody's included. And when this sound occurred, the mighty rushing wind, the multitude came together and were confused. You see? They were confused back then, like a lot of people are today. So remember the word confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So this is what we read. There are people from every nation. The people were confused. They could hear their own language that they could understand. Remember the story of Babel? I'm going to give you a kind of a look at both and see the difference. In the Tower of Babel, they all spoke one language. But they were gathered in rebellion and pride. On the day of Pentecost, they were gathered in submission and humility. Remember, Jesus said, I want you to gather and pray together, pray in one accord. On the Tower of Babel, they all had one language, but God confused them. On the day of Pentecost, they all had many languages, but they all came back together. And God restored a pure language, tongues. And they heard of the wonderful works of God. Pentecost, watch this, comparison. Pentecost is the blessed reversal of the cursed judgment of Babel. That all can come together. So what does the Holy Spirit do? When you know the Holy Spirit, he brings us together. He brings us in unity. He brings knowledge and truth. So when we talk about this and the fear that I had and the fear maybe some of you had or the confusion maybe some of you have, I want you to understand this is what this is all about. Every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. By the way, this is what heaven will be like. The Greek word nation is ethnos. Every ethnicity group praising God is the picture of heaven. So when the world says, you are bigoted, you are racist, the church is the least bigoted and racist. Matter of fact, we are not when we believe and fully know the Holy Spirit. So don't receive that stuff trying to remove the relationship that we have or should have with the Holy Spirit. And all this started at Pentecost. When the law was given, there was a loud noise. The cloud descended. There was fire. God wrote his law on the tablets of stone with Moses. And on that day, the law was given. 3,000 people died. On the day of Pentecost, there was a loud noise. The multitude heard it. There was fire. The cloud descended. The Spirit descended. Remember that? As cloven tongues. God wrote his law on men's hearts, and 3,000 people were saved and given eternal life. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecostal. So if you haven't figured it out yet, the Bible is a great book. The day of Pentecost is a fulfillment of that. When God gave the law, watch this. They couldn't keep it. Now, to prove it, it's in the movie, The Ten Commandments. They couldn't keep it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he writes God's righteous standard on your heart. So let me put it another way. Jesus came to make us in right standing with God because we couldn't do that ourselves, speaking of the cross, and the Holy Spirit comes so we can live that right standard in our lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When you relate with the Holy Spirit, he helps you to remove sin from your life because he gives you the truth. That's being Pentecostal. Not that your dresses are below your knees. Some of you go, what? What? Never heard of that. That's the way it used to be. Go on church, they used to measure. Some ladies, they'd have to go on their knees, and if the dress didn't reach the ground, they'd have to go home and change. That's how confused and all the different things. Now, we need to dress properly, but the reality is that's what happens when we don't know the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. It's so important that Jesus gave you. He said, it's so important that I go away, that when I give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, then you will know all, he'll teach you all truth. And many people don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Father, amen. Talk about Jesus, amen. Talk about the Holy Spirit, we go, oh my. Because we get scared. That's where I was. I went to Bible college. And I had to go to a class that taught on the Holy Spirit. And I said, oh man, this is going to be freaky. It wasn't. So he comes to empower us. Michelle was in my class. It wasn't freaky, was it? No. Yeah. She wasn't afraid of the Holy Spirit. I was. See, if you think you can live in this fallen world, sin-filled, demonic world, without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're in for a rude awakening. We need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Here's the third question. Can I experience Pentecost? Is there something I need to do? Something I need to become? Do I need to march 10 miles on my knees to prove that I love Jesus? Okay? I mean, why am I bringing that out? Because when I was a child and when I was a teenager, I heard stuff like that. I heard about how in order to be really, you know, you to stand up here, you know, very few can because they don't really know the Holy Spirit. What was this? Come on. Every one of us are called of God. And every one of us are important to the kingdom of God. I'm no more important than you. Just that I'm called to preach the gospel, to teach the word of God. That's what I'm called to do. Can I experience Pentecost? We are living today, and the Holy Spirit came 2,000 years ago. Can we as believers experience Pentecost like they experience in Acts chapter 2? Look at verse 3 of Acts 2. Then there appeared to them divided tongues. Divided means everyone got one. Individual tongue or tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, means everybody. So it's for everybody. It's for all of us. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So let's go back on this, because tongues is a scary word to many people. What we have a tendency to do is to run from that and not understand what it means. The word tongues is a glossa or glossary. They began to speak other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So we don't have to be afraid of tongues because it means language. All right? All the people heard in their own language the wonderful works of God. So Scripture will tell you that there are tongues of angels of heaven and tongues of man. Many languages in this world, but there is a tongue of heaven, that pure tongue that's of heaven. So don't ever be afraid of reading the Bible about this. Don't be afraid of seeking. Now, I'm bringing that out. I'm saying things like that because that's where I was. And I'm giving you a personal experience of where I was with the Holy Spirit and why it took me years to really grasp the fullness of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. All right? I didn't ask him, I was going to this morning, but everyone know that I love Pastor Dan, right? And we worked together how many years? Too many. No, okay, yeah. Too many, right? Many years. All right, so he has such a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I do too. But he has no qualms in saying, you know what, I was walking down the road, Holy Spirit and I were having a conversation. When I hear stuff like that, it still hits me and says, weirdo. That's not weird. But I can tell you even today, after 46 years of ministry and 100 hours at least of study on the Holy Spirit himself, more than that, as I still, when I hear stuff like that, I go, in my emotion. Why is that? Because what I experienced, and some of you may have experienced the same stuff, and, you know, like, I'll tell you another reason. I had a church I grew up in, loved the church. That's where I got saved. And I grew up in there, and there was this lady that just, I thought she was amazing, and then all of a sudden she started yelling out in the services, tongues, interpretation, you name it, whatever. But she was real loud and all just crazy to me because I didn't understand. I think she still was crazy. But anyways, but I also was friends with her son, and I also knew that she beat her son, abused her son. And see, that's in the back days where, you know, you didn't say much about that stuff. And so I saw this craziness, and then I saw this spiritual person, not judging anybody, but then she'd go home, get angry, and beat her son to where sometimes he'd come with marks on his face and, marks on his back. And I don't know the half of really what happened, because back then, you just shut your mouth. You didn't say much. All right? So these are the things that get into there. So I want you to recognize we don't have to be afraid of tongues. We don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We need to relate. He's a person of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to listen to him, and he will listen to you. And so when Pastor Dan does that, I'm better with it. But years ago when he got that revelation of that relationship with the Holy Spirit, he just blurted it out. I was talking to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told me to, yeah, right. Okay, and I was teaching the Word of God. Now, whatever religious upbringing you had, Pentecost made you afraid of reading the Bible and that something's wrong with it. There's parts of the Bible that you just can't believe. And I want to tell you, you need to believe the whole Bible. So these tongues came, and there was a tongue of fire above everyone's head. When you receive Jesus, you receive him by faith. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's by faith also. Everything that he has for you. Remember, there was 120 people in the upper room? The baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the 12 disciples or apostles. It's not just for the people on the platform. It's for everyone. That's part of the reason why you see me mostly down with you in the congregation. Because I never want you to look up here and say, oh, called and better than me. No. I got to work on this life same way you do. So remember the question, can I experience Pentecost? In Acts 1:4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" The promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus said, wait for the promise. The promise is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Spirit. So in looking back at chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has come. Then Peter stands up and preaches. And some said, what shall we do? And Peter's answer is this. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized. That's talking about water baptism in the literal language. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Watch this carefully. For the promise, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So can you receive it today? Is it for us today? Because there's a lot of arguments. Well, it's not for today. Or you got to be a certain category of called to have this. No. Let's read it again. For the promise of baptism of the Holy Spirit is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So you can receive him today. Peter said, it's to you, your children, and to all that are afar off. That's a direct reference to Gary Klaus and to you. I was afar off 2,000 years ago, and it's for me. Did God call you? Yes. So remember now, let's go back to this. And then we're going to really jump into some things the next few weeks. Remember Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. Remember that? Passover, we'll conclude with this. Passover was fulfilled the day Jesus died. Passover was when a spotless lamb, blood was shed for the people, their sins. And that is Jesus. That's what Jesus represented. They were to cut the lamb's throat at 9 a.m. Watch this. See how it works. That's when Jesus was nailed on the cross. At 3 p.m., they were to take the lamb and prepare to put him in the oven. At 3 p.m., they took Jesus' body off the cross and put him in the tomb. Jesus completely fulfilled Passover. Then they would take of the unleavened bread, and the Father would hide it somewhere in the house. He then would pull it out the morning after the Sabbath. He would wave it before the Lord as a symbol of the first fruit harvest, points to the harvest to come. When the Father was pulling the loaf out from where it was hidden, Jesus is coming out of the tomb as a symbol of the first fruit of the harvest to come. It all lines up. It all lines up. Passover has been fulfilled. Okay, Tabernacle. There are three feasts. The Feast of Trumpets, Atonements, and Tabernacles. One day the tabernacles will be fulfilled. It's not fulfilled yet. First, a trumpet will sound. Second coming. Second, there will be a judgment, the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. Third, but because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, we are going to be able to tabernacle with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God for all eternity, and that will be fulfilled. And that's why the Holy Spirit came, to reveal that all to you. Amen. There are a lot of people afraid of eternity. They're afraid of end times. They're afraid of what's going on today. We're in the beginning stage of the end times, where the Holy Spirit is pouring out on all flesh greater than he's ever done before. And because of that, there is a counter of that, of the enemy coming in, and you're seeing that stuff. You're seeing things happen. But I tell you what, Jesus Christ has already won the victory. Amen. Amen. But because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, we are going to be able to tabernacle with God for eternity. Just give me just a couple more minutes. Can you experience the fulfillment of the Feast of Passover? Can you receive Jesus as your spotless lamb that died for your sins? Can you? Of course you can. We've done that. We received Jesus Christ as Lord. So wait on that. But you weren't alive back then. How can you do that today? See, that's the argument about the Holy Spirit. That all the gifts, all the stuff was back then, not today. But Feast of Passover, that was back then, and we receive it today. Why can't we receive the Holy Spirit? That's the argument you'll get from people who say the Holy Spirit's not for today. Which I would say to you is ridiculous. People say we missed out because we weren't alive back then. You can experience the experience of Passover now, and you can experience the fulfillment of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So question, so what if you're not alive when the trumpet sounds? Remember, trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. Can you experience the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles? Of course you can. We believe that. Everybody believes that in church. Why do we have problems with the Holy Spirit? Because there's a lot of confusion. The enemy hates it when you understand who the Holy Spirit is. And watch this. He despises it fully when you relate with the Holy Spirit. When you can literally say, I was walking down the road, and the Holy Spirit said this to me, and I said this to him, and then he responded to me, and he talked to me, you know, and no longer like I did, you do this. Because you begin to know the God that you weren't taught. He's the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, again, I use the scripture already, but I got to remind you, Jesus said, it is most important that I go away. Because if I don't, you're not going to experience what I'm giving you through the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So my encouragement in end times, which we're in, is for you not only relate with the Father and the Son, we're good with that, is that you really work at understanding and knowing God the Holy Spirit. Every one of you can experience Pentecost. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit just like the 120 and the disciples were. So I'm asking you in the next few weeks, many of you have already done this. But see, I was godly. I knew God. I knew God the Father, the Son. I was confused on the Holy Spirit. Spend the next few weeks with me, if you would, and all watching online, all the home churches watching online, is spend that time. Re-go over and get those 31 things. Read every scripture and say, Holy Spirit, show me who you are. Church family, let the Holy Spirit just talk and relate with you. I can't tell you how excited he will be that you stop rejecting him. Or you dismiss it because you feel, watch this, you feel ignorant because you really don't know about this stuff. That's a ploy of the enemy. Just rise up, read it. Pastor Dan is teaching on Holy Spirit now, right? Or was that the last one? The last one, okay. So I just work here. I don't know what's going on anyway. It's what happens when you're gone. Yeah. So just allow yourself and avail yourself to grab a hold of the truth that I promise you, when I won victory over that confusion and fear, it changed my life. The ministry, I literally ministered, and I saw great success with his youth ministry. Youth camps, all, you know, running around doing camps and all the different things. But I really didn't know the Holy Spirit. And once I knew the Holy Spirit, everything changed. To the point that, you know, when you're a youth doing camps, you'll teach sometimes the same message, change it a little bit to where you're at if you're in Missouri or Texas or Michigan or whatever. And so you're teaching the same message to the point that when I really grasped the Holy Spirit, I would teach the same message after the fact. Just exploded in anointing because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Those watching online, you here today, understand it's such a key for these last days that you know the Holy Spirit and know him well. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Pastor Dan and Pastor Ryan, can you come up here for a second? I just wanted to personally, as they're coming up, to thank them for all that they did. I did watch the services. And you know why? I love church. And I did watch the services and powerful message, powerful series of teachings that you received. And thank you, Pastor Ryan and Pastor Dan. Just amazing with all that's going on, all the leadership, all you being faithful to the church and everything. It probably goes even better because they don't have the lead pastor calling up and say, hey, by the way, we need to, oh, got to stop what they're doing. So it probably went smoother while I was gone. Anyways, God bless you. Remember, tonight we have Bible study at 6 o'clock, the youth, the children, the adults in the sanctuary. God bless you. Have an amazing day.